What is good, guys? We are back at it again with yet another episode of the Sneaker Reselling 101 podcast. We're at episode 16, right? And we just want to say thank you guys so much for 1,000 listens. That's a huge milestone for us. You know, we get that. We get 1,000 views on YouTube, get 1,000 views on TikTok, 1,000 views on Instagram, Dom and I. But 1,000 listens on the new pod. That's actually really dope for us. So, again, thank you guys so much for that. If you guys haven't followed our Instagram page, make sure you guys go do so. I know you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So make sure you guys go follow us on the Reselling 101 pod on Instagram. It's much different than our podcast, but instead of Sneaker Reselling 101 podcast, it's just Reselling 101 pod on Instagram. So make sure you guys go follow that. So yeah, man, we're gonna go ahead and get into the updates, right? We don't need to introduce Dom anymore because you guys already know Dom by now. If you guys don't, you know, there he is right there. So Dom, just say what's up for episode 16,
brother. What's up? We're on episode 16. You know, just hit a K, so appreciate y'all for that. That's like our first milestone, I feel like, you know?
It is. So, you know, more things to come with the pod, man. We're super grateful. And again, we just want to help you guys as much as possible. So first things first, we're going to talk about the updates, right? So Dom, anything new with you, bro?
I guess the one thing that's happened since the last time we've been on it, it's not a huge update, but we bought a light box, so we've switched up our whole lighting setup, so that's been kind of nice. The nice thing about that is, like, we would always photograph shoes between, like, I mean, depending on the time of year, you know, between, like, 2 and 6 p.m. to get, like, the optimal sunlight, and, like, now that's not a concern, so that saves a lot of time. And that's just one of those things is, like, you always want to be making investments that are going to save you time or make you more productive or just do whatever to help your business. So that was a good investment. Right.
Wait, where'd you buy that light box? On Amazon?
Amazon. It's refoldable. So it's like, it doesn't necessarily have to take up too much space, but we've just been leaving it out. But yeah, that thing's clutch.
I've heard about that. I've heard a lot of people have been telling me to get one. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people said that you can make one, but okay. How much was that? How much was the light box? Like 50 bucks? 20 bucks?
It was like 115. It wasn't cheap. Ooh. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, shit was not cheap. And you know what's funny is, like, because I've kind of I started to learn how to do, like, the Amazon stuff where you resell on Amazon, not drop shipping, but just, like, getting product and reselling it. And I can almost guarantee someone bought that shit for, like, 60 or 70 somewhere and flipped it. But I don't know. I just bought it on Amazon for the convenience.
Yeah.
Now, like, someone probably got that from China in, like, 1,000 units and was selling them off for, like, double the price.
Exactly.
You know,
they made,
you know,
money off of you, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, update. Did you want to add anything else to that?
No, that's about it. I don't think anything crazy's happened lately. I know there's some things in my business that have happened that we're probably going to talk about. Like, last month was weird because we did a lot less revenue than usual, but we made pretty good profits. Like, our profit margin per shoe was a lot higher than usual. I think we're going to talk about that more at length later, although we could
get with that now. We're going to talk about that later on in the pod because that's something I'm also going through, which is, like, volume of sales versus profit margin, like, which one's better, which one should we prioritize, you know what I mean? So we're definitely going to talk about that later on in the pod. But
and I think there's a lot that you can learn as a newer reseller in that too, which I think, or not even a newer reseller, just
a resale in general.
Just having the right perspective on that, on balancing profit versus moving things quickly is helpful, but we'll get into that.
Exactly. So update with me. The TikTok's still not back.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
That's bullshit.
I mean, I'm still emailing every single day, submitting forms. I don't know if anyone else is.
Do you want to give a quick context to people listening who maybe didn't see the last episode of, like, what happened in the first place?
Okay, so just for anyone listening right now, if you haven't listened to episode 15 yet, I got banned for a second time, but this time I guess it's permanent. Before, it was a temporary ban, but now it's a permanent ban on my TikTok that had over 197,000 followers on it, and it was verified. It's all gone now. But, you know, I'm still blessed that I was still able to build up my Instagram platform, my personal Instagram, my business Instagram, my YouTube, you know, so I mainly focus on my YouTube right now. And I know, you've been getting back in the game on that. So, man, I know we talk about content at least once every single pod, but, you know, just to give you guys, like, the significance of, like, just content, or just especially like short-term content is huge. You know, with Instagram, you got Reels, with Shorts, you got, or with YouTube, you got Shorts. And then with TikTok, obviously majority, everything is basically Shorts on TikTok.
Right.
So guys, you have to, you literally have to utilize that to your advantage, especially right now, because you never know if that will just lose traction over time. Dude, you never know what's going to happen.
And we've talked about this. I know. I see ads all the time of YouTube advertising for people to start making YouTube Shorts. And what that's telling you is, like, they have more people who want to watch Shorts than they have creators, which means if you're a potential creator, there's a ton of opportunity there right now. And then obviously you can see it in, like, I have random videos that have gotten close to 1 million views. I know, I think you have a video that crossed 3 million now.
Yeah, 3 million.
I mean, and, you know, Dylan now has 13K subscribers. I now have 5,000 subscribers, largely because of these crazy Shorts that have gone off. But the point is like we've talked about, this isn't new if you've been listening to these episodes, but there's just massive opportunity with this short form content, and you can see it everywhere you look. So YouTube Shorts is big right now for sure.
1,000%, bro. And just to give you guys some more context, I was just long content on my regular YouTube channel that now has, like Dom said, 13,000 subscribers, and then separating the Shorts content, just having my own Shorts YouTube channel, right? So now on my actual YouTube with the 13,000, I post both. With the Shorts channel, I post like 116 videos. And every single day I'm gaining subscribers without me. I don't think I've posted on that channel since, I think, like 3 months, bro. It's kind of crazy. And now it's almost at 700 subs.
Yeah. That's one of the other interesting thing about the Shorts too, is we've talked about this too, is the distribution takes longer, you know? Like, sometimes they start pushing that shit like a month or two after you first post it, or three.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. It is. It's still growing.
It is, and it's crazy because if you guys are an OG listener, if you guys used to listen to us when we started this podcast, Dom and I would talk about different strategies that we wanted to do, and one of the strategies were to post 5 Shorts videos a day. And over time, those videos actually kicked into gear, and some of those videos are doing well over 10K plus minimum.
Dude, we've been so damn consistent preaching Shorts. I think it's awesome that especially your account has fucking blown up on Shorts since we started this podcast. And we've been YouTube Shorts, YouTube Shorts, YouTube Shorts from the start.
I don't know
if people realize your YouTube was like a third of the size as it was now, and really not performing well when we first started this. And we've been talking about YouTube Shorts, and
yeah,
you've really executed that. So
yeah,
that's kind of,
it was cool. So dead. Like, I was just, at one point on my YouTube, I was just kind of disappointed. And I was just like, you know what, F this, I'm just going to focus on my TikTok. And that's what I did. And then, you know, once my TikTok got banned, I was like, F this, I'm going to focus on my YouTube. So, but, you know, I'm very grateful that I was able to, you know, balance everything out with my Instagram, my YouTube, my TikTok, and all my other social media platforms that I post on. But, you know, if you guys are listening to this, you should definitely execute now. Because I'm telling you, I'm going to say this one more time. It's one of these days, it might lose its traction. It might not have the organic growth it has right now. And, you know, again, I have 13,000 subscribers. Not only, but I have 13,000 subscribers. One of my videos has 3.4 mil. Another one has like 2.5 mil or something like that. And like, there's a few others that have over a mil, well over a million. So again, that's just so many eyeballs just on one platform alone, you know? Yeah. And I wouldn't even think I would have touched anywhere near where I am right now which is 13,000 on the YouTube if I didn't post shorts. Or I personally feel like you could have gotten to where you are now, or we both of us could have gotten to where we are now if we just posted long videos. But I feel like it would take longer if we didn't post shorts.
100%. I mean, and you can see it by the numbers. It's like, you can look at see how many subscribers you gained per video. I haven't like completely deep dove into those numbers for me, but I know that the short videos have generated a lot more new subs for me than the longer ones. And then obviously the longer ones, the short ones are for growth. The longer videos are for depth. You know what I mean? So you like get that. The new people in the door with the short videos, and then you can really talk to them, communicate with them, show them who you are, build like deeper connection with your audience with the longer videos.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I like that. The short videos are for the, what do you say?
The short videos are
make that clip that now.
So we need to get back on the clips for this. I don't know, for everyone who follows the Instagram, we were doing the short videos for a little bit of just clipping this podcast and putting it up. So
we're gonna do that more, bro. I like what you said though. We're gonna go ahead and clip that. So stay tuned.
Say it one more time.
Yeah, say one more time. Say one more time for the pod.
Something to the effect of the short videos are for growth and the long videos are for depth.
I love that. Yeah, I really like that a lot because it's true. It really is true, you know. And over time, I feel like the shorts videos will help so much with your long videos. You know, I if you're listening to this right now, you guys are most likely really passionate about what you do. Reseller. You know, we're the reselling 101 pod. So it's not just sneakers. We talk about literally this is reselling in general, like business in general, you know? So if you guys are listening to this right now, that means you guys are really passionate about what you do and you guys really want to learn. So again, we appreciate you guys so much. So the next topic I want to go ahead and talk about is GOAT and eBay, right? I know that this is a platform where you and I sell well, like very well on. eBay was a platform that I used to sell Pokemon cards on, and just like literally everything from Pokemon cards to games to electronics. I know you're selling shoes, right? So, but I also know you have some issues with eBay too.
I will say this, eBay, we use eBay a lot. eBay is very good for our business in the net, but they're a bit of a mess, honestly. The way they run their shit's a bit messy, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, facts, bro. Facts. So yeah, I want to talk about more of that, and then Go is an amazing platform where Dom and I sell a lot on as well. It's crazy because if I would have known about Go as a new reseller starting off, I don't know, right? I probably would have made a good amount of money. Because if you're newer a reseller right now, GOAT is such a great platform because you're able to, and by the way, this is not a sponsor, by the way.
They're way too big for us. Let that be.
Yeah, exactly.
Too big to sponsor us.
Exactly. But they should sponsor us.
They should. Things,
but not. But not. Like, just let you guys know, if I was a newer reseller and I had GOAT, and if I knew, because GOAT has been around for a minute, right?
Yeah.
But you know, if I had it when I was like 17 years old, and you know, it was there, you gotta think about it. GOAT, you could check market new and used, right? When I was a reseller starting off, I could look back all the way down on my Instagram and be like, dang, I really sold this for that much. I remember selling black and white Jordan 1 high. You know which ones I'm talking about. I sold it for like $100. I think we talked about it in this podcast. But I sold it for like $100, $110, something like that. And those are going for well over like $700. I could have made a bag off those, bro. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got all those shoes for free. The reason why I sold it for $110, I sold like Baron Jordan 1s for like $100 or like $90 to $100, and like, just those two shoes alone, I could have made a good amount of money even if I just had GOAT.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy because there's a, you can make a good amount of money off of used shoes too. And that's what Dom and I talked about literally before getting on here. You could, for example, just another great example. I had soft vision Yeezy 500s on my Instagram for 150. Used no box for 150, and no one bought them for like a few weeks. So I was like, you know what? I'll post on Go. So I posted on Go, and a few weeks later, they sold for 180, and that was after fees and everything. So I'm like, dang. Yeah. You know, utilize Go. If you guys are listening to this right now and you want to build like your capital, if you want to like consistently move product, use Go.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts on that. One underrated thing about GOAT, because I know we've talked about this privately and maybe a little bit on the podcast, but payments in sneakers are hard. They're way harder than they seem, especially if you're a smaller reseller. There's a lot of potential for people to scam you through different payment providers and through different apps and different things like that. When it comes to GOAT, bro, it's so safe. It's like there's no buyer can message you. You ship the item directly to GOAT. GOAT pays you out. Like, it is there is nowhere I have more peace of mind, including my own Instagram. There's nowhere I have more peace of mind making a sale than when I do it on GOAT. I know for a fact I'm going to get my money. And I know for a fact that if I send something wrong, they'll just consign it for me. That's a super underrated aspect of GOAT, which I'll explain real quick. So, like, let's say, because I've done this before, let's say I sold a Jordan 12 taxi to GOAT and I accidentally shipped them a Jordan 11 Concord. Like, that sucks. But all you have to do is they make it to GOAT. They tell you you shipped the wrong item, and then they will hold it for you for free until it sells correctly if you want to, which is huge. So when I do something wrong on GOAT, I'm like, not a big deal. Whereas if I were to sell it to one of my customers and I ship them the wrong shoe, that's a huge That's a whole thing. So
I've had that happen before. I had that happen before with me, bro.
It's been a while. Knock on wood. My sister.
Yeah, knock on wood. We don't want that to happen again.
Yeah,
bro. It's a whole hassle because then you have to switch out the orders. You know what I mean? You have to message this seller, then you have to message this one. This one has to agree. If this one doesn't agree, then you have to, like, you know, it's a whole thing. But, like, but then also you have the option to, like, have it shipped back to you. So we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah, they charge you like $8 or $9 or something, and they'll ship it back to you. Which, again, think about this. I don't understand the math on this. First of all, they'll hold an item in storage for you for free.
For free.
Like, I've even thought about this. Like, if I wanna hold Jordan 4 Military Blues when they come out, and I know that I do, and I want to buy them through GOAT, like, I can put in, like, highest bid offers. I have sales tax exemption on GOAT, so I don't pay sales tax. I put in my highest bid offers. I hit on a handful of them. I build up a little collection of Military Blues, and I just consign them on – or I just keep them in GOAT storage. You know, for me, like, space is a real constraint right now for me. Yeah. And I can just hold shoes and have them at GOAT for free. So that's cool. I don't know where else I was going with that. Oh, yeah. And then, if you ship them something and it's, like, the wrong order for some reason, something's wrong with your order, they'll ship it back to you for, like, $8 or $9, which is crazy because they're taking the full expense of you shipping the item to them and then them shipping it back to you for $9 total. Like, overall –
it's cheap.
And then people buy shit for hella high on GOAT. So, like, the fee is the fee's like 13% roughly after everything. I mean, it's not like a straight 13%, but it's roughly 13%. Yeah. Most of the time, like, for a lot of shoes I sell on GOAT, I get a higher payout than I would have gotten on eBay. I get a higher payout than I would have gotten on Instagram, even after all the fees. Like, that's part of the reason I'm pricing higher and higher on Instagram is I'm like, I'm not going to go below what I know for a fact I can get on GOAT. Which is why I kind of think I'm pricing out my Instagram followers to some extent because GOAT pays so well. But that's
exactly.
Exactly.
I feel that because I was holding Chicago Black Toes for a minute.
The Jordan 1 mids, right?
Yeah, the Jordan 1 mids. I don't really buy mids, but, you know, one of my – actually, I hit up DFW. I'd be like, yo, bro, should I – because, bro, DFW has so many mids, bro. Yeah. And
shout out!
I don't know if he sold them all. Yes, yeah. Shout out to DFW kids, bro. Yeah, he's probably in the comments.
He's probably in here.
Yeah, shout out to him, bro. But, like, he had so many mids. So I asked him, like, bro, what do you think about these? He was like, just buy the good size. I was like, I bet I bought the good sizes. I think I bought like 7.5 to 9, and I bought a good amount of pairs. I'm not gonna lie, I bought a good amount of pairs. I can't really tell you the exact amount, but I bought them for $125 each after tax and all that. And then I bought the Jordan 1 Mid All-Star, the carbon ones. I think I only bought like 10 pairs of those, but the good size, like 7.5 to 8.5. And then I held them for a few months. I don't even know when the Jordan 1 Mid Chicago Black Toes went released, but now, because I was like, damn, like, what am I going to do with all these mids? Because I was trying to sell them on my Instagram. And, you know, I would sell a pair here and there for a good amount. But then I checked the market on Go. I'm like, damn, they're going for like roughly around 220 to 250 for the Chicago Black Toes. And for the All-Stars, they're going for like 200 to 220 around that, right? So I listed them all on Go, every single pair. And now I'm down to two pairs, bro.
Damn.
Two more pairs. And just to give you guys an average of how much I was selling the Chicago Black Toes for, I think I was making like 212 to like two, oh, a little bit over 220 per pair after fees.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really good margin, you know, especially for the mids. So, you know, if I could get mids for the low now, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Book it, you know, I'll actually buy it.
And that's why we'll buy almost anything for the right price. As long as obviously we know how to check the shoe. That's one of the big things. And, and that applies to in-person meetups. Online, like, you can figure it out. Like, when you buy online, you have time to return. So, like, you can figure it out on the fly. But
yeah,
as long as we're fairly confident it'll move, we'll buy anything. Because even if our Instagram audience doesn't take it, you just flip it to GOAT.
Exactly. And then if it turns out fake, how does – because I don't think I've ever had that happen, especially on GOAT. Like, so if it turns out fake, what happens?
If you sell fake to GOAT, it's just $8 to return ship it.
And then does it deduct your points?
No, it doesn't actually. We did an experiment a while back. We had these 2011 Jordan 11 Concords. And, like, you know, those older shoes, you know, I didn't know how to check it because it was one of those older shoes. So we put it through an app. Mind you, this was also many months ago, like probably a year ago now. But anyway, we put it through an app, came back fake. And we were like, oh, like, let's make a YouTube video out of it. So we put it – so we were like, okay, we're going to – sell it to GOAT, see what happens. Like, they look pretty good, and we'll get a second opinion on it. And they didn't pass. It was $8 to have a return shipped to us, and then we still had time to make the return on eBay, which was clutch.
Oh, dang. That's good.
So that's like free content.
Yeah, free content. Free content. So the next, because you mentioned the military fours. I know you want to talk about this. So we're going to talk about that. The military fours. They've been dropping literally everything except the military forest.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, bro, go ahead and talk about that. I know you wanted to talk
a little bit about that. I've wanted to give my prediction on this pod. So, okay, here's the backstory. For those who don't know, the Jordan 4 Military Blue might be – it's one of the best Jordan 4 colorways. It's just a white and blue 4. I wish I had a pair of candy. I have a couple pairs upstairs. Really clean shoe. The last release was in 2012. And I know me and Dylan were just talking about this before we went live. They sell like crazy for us. Like, there's so much demand for this shoe. Like, people love these things. I understand. Really clean shoe. So they were rumored that they were going to re-release in like summer of 2021. Like, I've been waiting all year for the re-release. And what ended up happening was, I think last month, maybe 2 months ago, now that it's October, so August, September, probably in August, they dropped the military blue Jordan 4, but they dropped it as a freaking golf shoe. Which is like, they're just, and I'm just like, I actually made a video about this. I'm like, I swear Nike's just fucking with us because they know, they know what the demand is for the actual Jordan 4 military blue, and they drop a fucking golf shoe. So then I'd been reading that it's now expected to drop in 2022, right? Oh my gosh, and then and then it gets announced that they're dropping a Jordan 4 Military Black in summer of 2022, which is essentially the exact same colorway, same color blocking and everything as the Military Blue 4. But then everywhere that's like that light blue color is black instead. which I'm not going to lie, like, they're pretty clean, too.
They are, yeah.
You know, they're still not dropping the Military Blue 4. So what I think they're doing is they're just riding out the hype of the colorway. I actually think they're fucking with people. Like, they're just fucking with everyone, knowing that the demand is there. They sell out way more pairs of a Jordan 4 Military Blue golf shoe than they would have otherwise, right? Because they're milking this release that they're going to do later. They dropped the Jordan 4 Military Black, which is going to get a ton of them, right? It's going to do really well. They're going to sell out a shit ton of pairs. And they're just they're milking this really good colorway they already had in the past. And then, fuck, dude, when they finally drop – I'm cursing a lot in this episode.
But, hey, fuck it, bro.
when they finally drop the Military Blue 4 re-release and, like, whenever it is, I assume it'll be 2022 at the earliest, maybe 2023 now.
Yeah.
They've already made a ton of money off the colorway from these last two releases. And I bet they just do, like, a giant GR. Just, like, so many pairs dropped. And just really make their dough on it. That's what I think is going to happen.
It's still going to do well, though, regardless.
Oh, yeah. I hope they drop a bunch so I can get a cheap personal pair and invest.
Yeah, bro.
This is the thing with shoes, bro. It's like, I'm not like an expert on holding. This is not my game, but I'm kind of figuring it out. And if a shoe is going to get worn a lot, like if everyone wants to wear a shoe, it doesn't matter too much how many are released. Like even on a super high supply GR, if a ton of people want to wear the shoe, it's going to go up in value. Like the white Oreos, bro. The white Oreos had so many damn pairs out there, and they're already up to like 350 plus.
Yeah.
Because so many people wanted to wear them. It's like it didn't matter how many went out because people are getting their shoes in from like, oh shit, like I hit on sneakers. And instead of reselling them, a bunch of people are wearing them because they're so clean and easy to wear.
They are.
And I anticipate the same thing is going to happen with the Military Blues when they finally drop, is that there's going to be this massive supply run, huge release, a ton of people get pairs, and a shit ton of people are going to wear them, and the market's just going to go up very quickly.
Exactly.
That's my guess. I really want them to drop, though. I really want a personal pair.
Hey, man. What kind of personals do you have right now? Matter of fact.
I got Bred 11 Lows. I got some Air Max 97s. I don't know if that counts because they're, like, cheap. But I want more Air Maxes. I really like Air Maxes. This is, like, an everyday shoe.
Yeah.
They're comfy. I just got some Yeezy 700 Inertias.
You told me about those.
I like 700s a lot. And then I have some What the Fours, which probably going to sell those soon and then get a new – either a different Jordan 3 or a Jordan 4. I'm slowly building it out. I want more shoes. I need some new clothes, though, really bad before I get more shoes.
Yeah, we talked about
thrifting.
Thrifting, start going thrifting. I mean, like, I'm not paying no $50, $20 for a shirt, bro. I'm be honest with you.
I'm too cheap. I'm too cheap. I really
do. Me too. Like, Dom and I can easily spend, like, $40,000 on shoes every month, but like, still not want to pay $40 for a shirt.
I know exactly how much I paid for my personal collection, bro. I pinch those pennies, and like, God, I want more shoes though. I really want more shoes.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm actually in that same, like, I'm like low key, me too. Because I was thinking about it, I'm like, dang, I have all these shoes. I have like over 700 pairs. I'm like, what if I just keep one of them? And I'm like, nah.
No, it's hard. So, like, okay, first of all, before I talk about the Inertias, because there's something about them, Tony just took some Hyper Royals, bro. He took some Jordan 1 Hyper Royals, yeah.
Dang, the new ones that just released?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Well, you guys probably got it for a steal, though. All the personal that you get, you probably get it for a steal, huh?
Of course.
How much do you get the Hyper Royals for?
He got them for, like, $268.
Damn, that's still a steal. Even if you wear them, because you guys are probably not gonna beat them up.
No,
if you clean them up, you could still sell them for over, like, probably over three.
Yeah, he'll probably wear them for a while. I'll bet that shoe appreciates as well. And then Jordan 1s in particular. This is weird. Jordan 1s really hold their value well compared to brand new, like consistently across the board. Jordan 4s do, like, less so. Like, there's certain models that don't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's just an interesting thing. So, yeah, like, he could even beat those things. I doubt he'd lose that much money if he tries to sell them in a couple of years after beating them into the ground. Like, he'll probably still sell them for $200, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He can even make his money back, but probably not, like, beat, but, like, he could probably make his money back if he doesn't beat them up,
and,
like, too crazy.
I don't know. Like, there's some color Jordan 1 colorways that aren't even that crazy. Like, the 2017 Royals or, like, the Game Royals. Like, you can get them beat all the way to where the heel drags all the way down to the white and still sell those bitches for $200 on GOAT.
200. Easily. Yeah, easily. So,
I don't know. Yeah. He might be able to beat him into the ground and get close to making his money back. But yeah, the inertias, I was going to tell this story. So, let me show them. Nah, I don't want to mess up the flow for people listening on Spotify. But I have the 700 inertials. I got them for $135. They're really clean with box, but the catch is the strap inside is cut. See, now there's like a strap. Jordan 3s have the same strap. There's like a strap in like the middle of the shoe. I don't know. It's cut. It doesn't really affect how it fits. It's just one of those things that like I'd have to disclose it if we were selling it. So I don't know what we would have sold it for.
Right.
So
I don't know what strap are you talking about? Bro, take him out real quick, bro. Yeah, everyone listening on Spotify and Apple Podcast, well, you guys gotta envision it. We'll kind of just talk about it.
Help me explain it. Help me explain it to the people listening without the visual.
Okay. Okay. Let me see.
So here's the shoe, right?
Okay.
Inside the shoe, there's these straps right here that hold the shoe together.
Oh, kind of where it like stretches, makes it like flexible.
Yes, right here. You see it?
I see it. Okay. So, yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, it kind of makes it like stretchy. Like yeah. it holds the tongue together.
It holds the tongue.
And then it just keeps it down on your foot.
I'm going to wear them laced up. It doesn't really affect the fit much. It doesn't affect what they look like. And I got them for a steal. So like,
That is a steal. No, because I was thinking about the same thing. I'm like, dang, my birthday is coming up. You know, we've been doing significantly well on the business. So I'm like, what if I just bless myself with like some foam runners or something like that? I don't know. Or like, because I even have those Starfish Jordan 1 Lows. I love those shoes, bro.
Yeah, they're clean.
I'm like, I might, because I got them for $200. One of my friends threw me a steal, DS. They're brand new. I'm like, damn, should I just keep these? Because I feel like those might go up too, even if I use them. They'll probably still go up after that.
I think both those shoes are going to hold their value well. Those are two good personals to have because, like,
you can
wear them quite a bit. You'll probably still sell them well.
Yeah.
For people listening or watching, DM us, Reselling 101 Pod, because me and Dylan talked about this. Which one should he toe? Which one should be his personal pair? Should he get some foam runners, or the Jordan 1 Low Starfish?
Bro, I'm gonna be honest, I love the foam runners. I just don't see me paying over $300 for a pair of foam runners, bro. Like for I don't know. It kind of sounds stupid, but at the same time too, like I don't know, bro. I just probably wouldn't pay that much.
I'm with you because like I kind of want a pair of Yeezy slides, but like there's no fucking way I'm gonna go pay $200 for them.
What size are you again, Dom?
I'm like an 11 in Nike shoes. I have Yeezy 700s are 11.5, so I don't know what that would put me at on the slides. Either 11 or 12, probably.
We're the same size.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet. No, because you know it's crazy because. Any type of personals that I do get, I only have one pair of personals, which is the Travis Scott one load. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if I were to resell those now, I'm never going to resell them because I got them as a gift. But if I were to resell them, I'd still make a good amount of money. Those are appreciating in value.
Right.
I think I got them. My girlfriend got them below $1,000. So now, you know, they're going for over $1,000 now.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
That's always insane when you wear a shoe, especially when you like really beat it and it still goes up in value.
Exactly.
This is a while ago, but I went and picked up some really beat Jordan 1 Gold Toes and then some really beat Shattered Backboard. I think the 2.0s, the 2.0s. They're both cooked. The guy got them for retail back in the day for whatever retail was then, like 110, 120 plus tax. And he sold them for like what, I give him like 400, 500. Damn. I made a bag. He made a bag, and he beat his shoes.
Like, it was everyone crazy, all, crazy. Everyone made a bag.
Everyone made a bag. Yeah. But he bought the shoes like a decade ago or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I'm stretching. Not a decade ago, but like whatever, a few years ago. The shattered backboards, I think, are older than the gold toes.
Yeah.
Beat them, wore them for a long time, and then made like 150 bucks. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That is crazy. You know, I actually want to give an honorable mention. George, bro. Sneaker Souffle, bro. George listens to the podcast.
I know. That's dope.
All the podcasts. So, you know, I just want to show some love to him. But that man has so many personals. And it's funny because, you know, he has really, really good personals, like what we were just talking about. If he were to resell them, or if he were to even just do some trades, he'll make a good amount of money off of that. And like, you know, George has some good style. So, I mean, regardless of what he wants to keep for his personal, or just, you know what I mean? Like he can make his bread back on any of his shoes. He can make his bread back plus more if he were to sell or trade any of his shoes. Cause I know I talked to him a few days ago. He told me that he traded his Desert Moss Unions for like two pairs of sneakers. I forget what shoes, but and he was able to make a good he's able to make a good amount of profit from them. But you know what I mean? Like he got a really, really good personal collection. I think him and Rob, sorry to cut you off. Yeah, him and Rob are like the two, like out of like our friend group, I'm pretty sure like they're the ones that have like the best personal collection. Yeah. Out of all of us. Yeah. I think so.
I'm gonna start slowly building. I don't know how many more pairs I'm gonna have. I can't.
Me too, bro.
I'm too cheap. I can't imagine having more than like six. I think.
Yeah.
But six expensive ones. I got like three that are, you know.
Those are good. I mean, like you know, the thing with me is too. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, if I keep a few personals for myself and I wear these shoes here and there, if I wear them out in public, someone compliments me. I just think about that. I'm like, if someone compliments me on those shoes, like, yeah, thank you, I'm a reseller. Right. And then they, you know, that person could potentially become a customer. It's that's a marketing product, bro. You know what I mean? That'll give you some exposure.
That's what I've been thinking, bro. It's like, and you make a little content about your personals, like expensive for the business. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's not, I don't know. And it's an investment. They're not even personals. They're investments. They'll be worth double.
Exactly. Bro, I've had that happen to me. I was at a restaurant, and I was wearing my Travis Scott One Lows, and this dude that has his own business, he was like, hey, bro, I really like your shoes. I was like, thank you. I'm like, I have a resale business. If you ever need anything, just let me know. And it turned into like this super, super long conversation. And like now he follows me on the gram. He hits me up to sell shoes and buy shoes here and there. So it's dope. You know, I built a little, you know, customer relationship with this guy that I met at the restaurant because he liked my shoes.
Yeah, that's dope. That's super dope.
It is dope. It is dope. It's a conversation piece too. So,
sure. Yeah, I'm gonna keep building it. I don't know. I need more shoes for sure.
What's the next shoe you're thinking about? Like, if there's any personal, let's just say like not crazy expensive, not no like Red Octobers type shit, but like if there was just any shoe that you could have right now, what shoe would it be?
You know, it's so tough because the one I really wanted before I got the Inertias was a Wave Runner, but like now I don't need both.
I like the Wave Runners.
Yeah, I
like the Inertias too.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah,
but the Wave Runner was the one I really wanted, but I kind of just grabbed the Inertia opportunistically. So like I don't want a Wave Runner and an Inertia because they're both obviously Yeezy 700s and they're not that different of colorways. So that one's off the board. Bred 4 comes to mind, but I think I want a 3. I want a 3. I just don't know what colorway yet.
There's a lot of good 3s out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good 3s.
What? I'm trying to think of a better answer though, like an actual shoe that I would just really, really love to have. I'm not sure which one it would actually be. I know the Military Blue 4 is up there, but I'm just waiting for that re-release, bro.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a pair of those.
would you pay resale to have
them? If it's sitting at like 3:30, that might be pushing it. If it's at like if it's like Lightning 4 market, like yeah, it's done. I'm gonna have a pair.
Yeah, Lightning 4 market's pretty low right now. I'm not gonna, it's only like what, 280?
Yeah, I think
285.
Like, I think as low as 260 and some sizes are 250, and then as high as like yeah, 280, 290.
Okay. All right, guys, stay tuned, guys. You heard our personal collection. I know a lot of people are gonna ask us about what personal you have, what's in your collection. Episode 16, we tell you what we have now, and then later on we're gonna tell you an updated version of what we got later on in our collection.
You know what I think is underrated in personals though? Maybe this is just me, but like shoes that wear well, like shoes you can wear a lot and they don't get beat.
Oh,
they
true.
Don't look beat. Like my What true. The Fours, the reason I want to sell my What the Fours is I don't like the way they look worn. Like as the padding's yellowing and they get creased, I'm just like, they just don't look the same. But like the Bred 11 Lows I have, those wear so nice because the patent, yeah. Like that dark, like that black patent leather. So when it gets creased or scuffed, you can't really tell. And the midsole super easy to clean. And like, it's just like, I can wear it all the time and it still looks clean. It still looks fresh to me. So
I feel like a sneaker that wears, that like ages well over time are Jordan 1s, like a Jordan 1 Shattered Backboard. What's another good one? Obsidian Jordan 1s, Pine Green 1.0s. Those shoes with good quality, those age well. Like bred Jordan 1s.
And it helps that like beat Jordan 1s look really good, I feel like.
Yeah. Do you mess with 1s?
I don't have a pair. I don't know about high tops. I don't know how I feel about
high tops. I look bad in high tops, bro.
I don't know. I was really – Tony put the Hyper Royals on because he took those yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, it's a clean look. He's had a couple of ones now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So,
might need one.
But hey, again, stay tuned, man. Stay tuned.
Yeah, well, this is the time where I start splurging on some personals. It's been a while that I kept it kind of tight, but I don't know.
I mean, again, you could sell them once you're done with them. Yeah. So, but yeah, bro, let's talk about the next topic, and then we're gonna move on to the prioritizing volume of sales versus profit margin as our last topic, but. Let's go and talk about Check app. Check app has been down. Obviously, if you guys are in the resale community with sneakers, you guys know that Check app is a legit checking app where you guys can submit photos and then they'll give you an answer back in like 30 minutes. So, you know, a lot of people utilize this app on a day-to-day basis at sneaker meetups, at events and all this stuff. And it was the legit checking app to have if you weren't that knowledgeable on sneakers. But, you know, I've heard that there were fakes. I heard that there were fakes passing as real on the Check app. And I don't know, their server been down on the app. And I guess you told me that their Instagram is down. So
yeah,
you're actually the one that brought it up. So go ahead and talk about that more.
I have a lot to say on it. I have a few things. I'll make another video about it soon. If you follow my 760 Dom Instagram page, which I need to get way more active on, bro. Yeah. I need to get active there. You know, that's a different issue. But
Reels, Dom, Reels.
I know. We're getting back on it. But Check app. Yeah. So they were down for a while. It looked like. For a second, it looked like they took everyone's money and ran, for real, because their Instagram was gone, their website was gone, their app was down. But they sent out an email today saying that their server's been compromised, so somebody hacked them, their server's been down. They set up their backup Instagram account, and they're doing free legit checks through DMs now until they get it all figured out. So first and foremost, I'm like, I felt kind of weird about someone being so established in the sneaker game, just making a quick buck and bailing like that. So I'm really glad that that's not what happened.
Right. Yeah.
The other thing I feel like I want to talk about now is obviously when you post a video, you see the comments, you kind of get a feel for how the rest of the community is thinking about things. And there was a lot of negative sentiment towards Check app, like people really shitting on their name and saying they don't do a good job. And now I will say, it depends on what your standard is, right? Because we've talked about this. They've had multiple pairs for me where I have proof that they got the shoe wrong. Like, they gave a result, and I went and either went through GOAT or whatever means, and I know for a fact that they were wrong. And then there's some I know they got wrong just because I do have pretty good knowledge on quite a few shoes on how to legit check. I know for a fact that they've gotten others wrong. So I think I think they got probably out of like 400 checks, they probably got 3 shoes wrong for me, which is not great. Maybe out of 500 checks, they got like 3 wrong. So they're not perfect, right? But if you're using them for a second opinion, right? If you're just completely leaning on check, I think, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. But if they're a second opinion, they're a pretty good second opinion. Like, I don't know. I think there's been a lot of hate I've seen in the comments of people saying they're just completely bad that I think are inaccurate. So anyway, I don't know. I guess missing like 3 out of 400 is not that good.
Yeah, I feel you, bro.
I don't know. But I feel like they've gotten a lot of hits to their credibility that aren't fair. But also, I will acknowledge that they aren't perfect. And you would really want someone to be perfect if you're paying them for legit checks, or at least closer to perfect. Exactly. So I have mixed feelings on that, but I'm glad they didn't just bail on the community. I'll continue to use them strictly for second opinions sometimes. Like, I'm never going to lean on that app, but
that's really what it's for, what it should be for. I mean, like, all these legit checking apps should be for a second opinion. Everyone that wants to be a reseller in this community of sneakers, you should get a knowledge of what is real and what is fake.
Yes.
Regardless of, you know, if you're a beginning reseller, or if you've been in the game for years, you have to have knowledge already. And like, again, like what I just said, this should own like legit app, check app, whatever app you use, it should only be a second opinion.
I will say legit app has not missed for me. They've had a couple frustrating ones where they've been unable to verify, meaning they won't give me an opinion.
Exactly.
But yeah, I've probably done, I mean, I have a smaller sample on legit app. I think I've done like 70 checks on legit app, and
yeah, I like
mind you, and I sell a lot of pairs on GOAT, and anytime I do my own check and then I get a second opinion and I'm still not sure, I sell that pair to GOAT. So that's why I can say very confidently how accurate these apps are, because if there's ever any discrepancy between me and the app, I go and get a third opinion. So I can say legit apps like 70 for 70 for me. So they've been very accurate, but I don't know why I just jumped in there, but I just wanted to kind of point that out there, that I think legit app, as of now in my head, is at least a little bit better than check.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. And they're still up now, too. They're still
Hopefully, check comes back.
I really hope they do come back, because, again, it is still – I know you probably have a lot of credits, but I had a referral code. I know you're a lot of resellers. I like over 1,300 credits, but, I mean, still, it was only for a second opinion and – you know, for, because again, if I were to resell a shoe, and it was also for verification or like a certificate that, like, okay, these shoes are legit. I personally myself legit check them. Here's my second opinion that also legit check them. So if I were to resell like a higher end sneaker, such as like the Travis Scott or the Travis Scott Dunk or like an off-white sneaker, you know, and someone pays $2,000 for a sneaker, I have the certification. Like, okay, here's a certification that I paid for, whatever. And, you know, just to give you a peace of mind also that your shoes are legit too, that's why I also utilize that platform as well. So that because they have a shareable link.
Yes.
Like, you just copy the link and you just paste it into the DMs or something whenever someone orders a product off of me on Instagram. So, you know, it is very useful. But again, like I said, you guys should have a knowledge of what is real and what is fake. You know, us resellers, Dom and I, and, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of us listening right now have gotten so many Jordan 4s, Jordan 1s, Yeezys, all these sneakers have come in and out of our business for us to kind of have a gist of like, this is real, this is kind of off, you know, and you could determine different things, what's real and what's fake from seekers that have been coming in and out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's resources online that help a lot too. I know I really learned how to legit check Yeezys through, this is a while back, but through this, I can't remember what it was called. I think it was called Legit Check App, and they gave like a detailed breakdown of real versus fake size tag. And like, you know, you pick things up through experience. You could pick things up through studying. Like, you know, you can't completely lean on Check or Legit App, but like specifically Legit App, because when you put in a submission on Legit App for your shoes, you need to put in 10 pictures. So if you go through their explore page and look at a bunch of what they deemed as real and what they deemed as fake, and you study that shit, like you can pick up on little things. And that's a really good way to like fine tune what you know. There's obviously YouTube content about real versus fake shoes, which I feel like I should make more of that kind of stuff. Like get some.
Yeah, me too. I see y'all have like one up right now.
Yeah, I know. I have a video where it was just a day in the life video where I had a little segment about these fake Black Cat 4s I got in. And that video is popping just because of fake Black Cat 4 hitting in the search. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, there's many ways to study. And I think one of the really good ways to study is to go back through and like go onto these actual legit checking apps and study the results they've given. And it'll also, you know, if you're not starting with a knowledge base, then obviously you're strictly learning, right, when you do that. But if you already have a knowledge base and you study these explore pages, then not only can you learn for yourself what's real and what's fake, but you can also assess how accurate you think these apps are. Because like I noticed that a while back, like when Check first came out, I would like judge them myself. And I like right off the bat, I was like, yeah, they're definitely not perfect. So that can't be like opinion 1A. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
But there's a lot. But with that said, there's a lot to be learned there. They're not just guessing. Like they have their database of resources of what's real and what's fake. And there's definitely something to be learned going through these apps and looking at the results they've given.
Right. Yeah, bro. Fakes are getting crazy. Like, so crazy. I don't know, right? I don't want to get into, like, the fakes and the rep. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into that. But it's definitely crazy. And just, again, be knowledgeable, because just one little thing can verify if it's legit or not. So even with just, like, a size tag, just for example, like, how many of us really check the size tag? I know I do.
Always. That's the thing we look at the most, I would
say. Yeah.
Everyone should, though.
For anyone, like, they just really look at the shoe, okay, black light, whatever, they black light the box, whatever, everything checks out. But, like, even if you just check the size tag, too, sometimes the size tags are really off.
Yeah.
You know? So, gotta check everything.
We pulled out a Foamposite the other day, and, like, that's a shoe we never do. Like, we don't fucking buy Foamposites, but we took one look at the size tag, and I was like, oh, my God, like, they're so fake. Because sometimes they can be a dead giveaway. I would say on Yeezys, for example, at least Adidas Yeezys, the size tag's, like, by far the best way to check those. Like, exactly. if you need to just look at one thing and nothing else on a Yeezy, you go for the size tag.
Exactly. Yeah, but I've had a few, like, size tags that were kind of And then, like, there was some fakes that were, like, dang, like, the size tag looks good. Everything looks good, you know. But, like, the box, there's always something. There was always, like, a red flag, at least, like, 1 to 3 red flags that you guys can, like, find with a sneaker that will determine if it's real or fake. I buy no box shoes, but only if I can, like, 1,000% verify if those shoes are legit. But, like, I don't know. If I can't verify it's legit, then I won't buy no box shoes, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
But there are a lot of, like, no box shoes that you could get crazy steals on.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, sometimes I'll take my chances because I know I can sell it to GOAT. And then you get another data point to say, okay, this is how good I am at legit checking, right? Like, I went through my tells on this even without the box, and I thought they were real. And now I'm not going to take my chances because I wasn't 100%. But now I always encourage getting second opinions on Check and Legit App. I think, especially Legit App, I think they do a very good job. But Check's a good second opinion as well. But then you get your third opinion at GOAT, and you learn that way, you know? So, it's different in person, of course, because you can't go back and do a return on the platform if they come back fake.
Right. Facts, bro. Facts. So I know our time is kind of cutting short. I don't want to, you know, have limited time at the end because Instagram gives us only like an hour on here. But
I don't know what's
up. Let's go ahead and move on to our last topic, which is prioritizing volume of sales versus profit margin. So basically what we're talking about, just to give you guys some examples, right? So Dom, he sells a lot of shoes, but then his profit margin is kind of lower than usual. Whoa. But like, go ahead.
I'll just give the context. In the last 3 months, it's just been something interesting. This was both our best profit month and our lowest revenue month, meaning we sold less dollar value of shoes than usual, but we made way more money per shoe. And as a result, we did better on the month. So it just kind of brings up
percentage-wise.
The question of like, no, we made more net money though, but we made way more percentage-wise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be easier if I broke out the actual numbers, but I don't know if I really want to do that, but
give an example, bro. Yeah.
Like, for example, let's say you sold 50K in a month and made 10K versus selling 40K in a month and making 11K. You know what I mean? You're making not only do you make way more money selling 40,000, but you also made a way higher percentage because you're making more profit on lesser sales. So exactly. That's what happened to me last month. We had way less sales than usual, but also more profit than we've had in the last couple of months. So,
right.
But also our inventory is really built up, which is always a good thing. Like, we're always very happy when we can find profitable deals. Right. But the point is we sold less than usual, but made more than usual. So it's a weird thing. And it just brings up this question of like, to what degree do you want to prioritize moving items fast versus making as much profit as possible on each item? And I think that's always, that's a balance that, I struggle with in my own head. Like, I'm not sure exactly how I want to play it because we could go upstairs and sell a lot of that shit. Oh shit. We're down to 2 minutes, bro.
Okay. Okay. Let's wrap it up. Let's hurry up.
I would just say if you're a newer reseller, this applies to absolutely everyone, including myself. You want to figure out a balance between selling items quickly and making as much money as possible. Because if I make $25 on a shoe instead of 50, now I need to move twice as many pairs to make the same amount of money. So that's just a balance you have to find.
Exactly.
So that's been interesting for us.
I know that, you know, we have limited time, but again, you have to also reevaluate and see if you have the space even, because
right.
I know Dom has limited space. I have over 700 pairs of shoes. My margins are high. So I'm kind of in the same realm of how Dom was. Well, you said last month. Yeah. So last month I do that. That's what I personally focus on every month, because I have a good amount of space. I also have a storage unit like a few minutes away, but again, prioritize that. See if you have the space. If you don't, start moving fast with your product. So I know we have very limited time. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Stay tuned for episode number 17. Make sure you guys listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and make sure you guys go follow us right here on Reselling 101 Pod on Instagram. Please leave us reviews. We appreciate you guys so much. Love and support. 1,000 views or 1,000 listens on the pod itself. So again, we love you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for the love and support. We'll see you guys on episode number 17. Peace.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.